This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Welcome to Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. If you are a person that is tired of apologizing for being you, you know, the human part of you that sometimes feels like it has to be different at home versus work versus play, the human side that just wants to be hot, humble, open, and transparent about your wants, desires, and uniqueness. If you answered yes, this podcast is for you. Join me, Emily Elrod, as I dive into conversations with amazing guests about what they are not sorry for in creative and loving ways. Let's get started. Today, I'm excited to have my guest, Mick Harbo, with me. Mick, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's absolutely my pleasure, Emily. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's just go ahead and dive into it, Mick. Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wow. I'll try to keep a very long story as short as possible here, because I know we have a timeline. But basically, when I was a kid, I knew I wanted three things. I wanted to be married and have a wife and have children and then have our own business. So I am really pumped and proud to say that I have everything that I want. And the journey has been quite an adventure to get here. It's an amazing life. It really is.
And I think that can lead into what you're not sorry for, and what is one of the boldest statements I've had, I think, on this show yet. So tell people what you're not sorry for.
Yeah, I'm not sorry for being a convicted felon.
The first time I met you, I'm like, there's no way. Like, he is the most down to earth, the kindest. And you know, you have these stereotypes with convicted felons. So tell me more about that process and what got you to no longer being sorry for it.
Well, like I mentioned with a little bit about me, I wanted all three of those things. And in retrospect, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to have all three of those things happen right after high school. But nonetheless, that's what happened. Me and my wife got married 3 months after we graduated high school. We started having a family. We started our own business, which was a flooring contracting business. So we installed ceramic tile and marble. And it was a great business. But after the first couple of years, I couldn't cut it. Like I was, you know, I'm sure you weren't like this and none of your listeners were like this, but I was kind of an arrogant, you know, a little bit of a know-it-all at 18 years old. I thought I could handle everything on my own and knew how to do everything, but I couldn't cut it. And one day, actually, I was looking at my little baby boy, my firstborn, playing on it with his toys on the floor, and the house went dark. The electric company cut off our electricity, and it was going into winter time, so it was dark in the house and it was starting to be cold. And you know, I took a look around, and being that, you know, kind of arrogant know-it-all that I was back then, I said to myself, this is never going to happen again. So I picked up the phone and I made a few calls and started selling weed. And at first it was, you know, let me just make a couple hundred bucks a month to cover the electricity bill. But me being the entrepreneurial type of person that I am, it spiraled into somewhat of an empire over the course of a few years, and literally was selling tons of weed at one point. And, you know, there's not a lot of options that are possible when you're doing something like that. That's illegal, right? Like you get hurt, you get stolen from, or you get arrested and go to jail. And that's what happened to me. After about, I want to say 7 or 8 years of selling drugs, I got arrested in October 2007. And it was kind of devastating.
And how did that impact your life going forward? Because now you're here where you are today.
Yeah.
How would you say, what has been the positives from it? And then what's been the negatives from it?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, we'll start with the negatives first. Let's end on a positive note. Back then, you might imagine, so at that point, I had three kids, okay? I had my wife and three kids. We owned a home. We had these two businesses at the point. The tile business was actually doing really, really well, too, after I had built it up over the course of a few years and, you know, making all this money selling weed, right? and you lose everything, right? And I'm the man of the house, and I related to myself as the person who's responsible for providing for my family, and I couldn't anymore. So you might imagine that I felt, you know, pretty horrible about myself. I was super depressed. I was calling myself every name, every horrible name you could think of. You know, I felt like the biggest loser on the planet, you know, like really, really hard on myself. I also hold myself to a really high bar. So if I'm not hitting that bar, then I make it mean that I'm a loser, you know, like I said. And so it was really depressing. It was really bad like that for a really long time too, several years. And it was like, it put me in hustle mode, right? Like I had to get back to where I was in order to feel good about myself. And that's not a great place to be, you know, measuring your worth against the results that you produce in the world. And that's where I was at, you know. I couldn't do my tile business anymore because I was subbing through a lot of the big box stores like Home Depot and Lowe's, and you have to be able to pass a background check in order to be able to go into people's homes and do work, and I couldn't anymore. So here I am, like lost my house, lost both of these businesses, and had to move my wife and three kids into my mother's basement, right? So it was like a grind trying to make money, but also trying to feel good about myself, mm-hmm. you know? And I was still in that phase where I didn't want to talk about it to anybody because I felt so bad about it. And I didn't want anybody else knowing anything about me that's going to make me look as horrible as I feel. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's normal, right? It's not weird. But it didn't help any, right? So at the time, you know, I did, like I said, everything that I could do to learn and help myself. So I read everything that I could get my hands on, you know, anything self-help or personal development, I picked it up and read it or listened to it, you know, and started listening to podcasts and going to seminars and things like that. And, you know, started figuring out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. Right. So, on one hand, at the time it felt like it was the worst thing that ever happened to me, but looking back, it was really the best thing that ever happened to me. Right. It really, you know, losing everything like that really catalyzed me to dive headfirst into personal development and like this really cool journey of transformation, you know? So, I started listening to mentors and seeking out coaches, and, you know, we started making some money again, and I hired my first coach, and that made like a really huge difference for me. And that really led me to where I am now.
I love that. And the things I hear on that too, is that how you made your mess into a message and how you've grown from that. Because a lot of the times people, let's think right now. Right now is a mess for a lot of people.
Totally.
COVID and just, it's like consistent failures that seem to be happening or unpredictability. What would you say to people that are in a mess right now? What advice or what would you invite them to for just getting over that hump, I guess?
I would say lean into it, you know, like actually, so to me, failure is the stepping stone to success, right? Like there's really no failure or no mistake if we find something to learn from it. If we actually look for the value in it, if we look for the gold in it, and that's what I mean by leaning into it. Mm-hmm. It feels really bad. So I would also say, like, look to actually experience the whole experience. Feel the feelings. Don't try and distract yourself from it, and actually be willing to be vulnerable and seek help. You know, one of the biggest gifts of this for me was learning that I didn't know everything, and then going on this kind of mission to really find out what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And that took me being willing to be vulnerable and me being willing to, you know, be like create intimate relationships with other people that, you know, that could really help me. So that's what I would say, like, you know, kind of change your mindset around it, look at this as an opportunity instead of a problem. Be willing to actually step into it and find the people that can really help you out, because there's really smart people out there. And this doesn't mean anything about you. It's just a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too, is not self-identifying with it. That is some things that I see a lot of people do whenever they deal with struggles, that they bring it into their identity and then they take it on for life. I always talk about the example of me, and I had my child out of wedlock and it ruined all my plans, you know. But what it actually did is it was what propelled me to where I needed to be and how it helped me. So some people are listening to this and they're, one thought might be like, how is this going to be relevant to me? And how can I help with this, or how can this help me to be better? I'm not a convicted felon. I really haven't messed up huge, quote unquote, but I can see things that I need to address. What was like your top tips that you would say to anybody, no matter where you're at, to addressing your quote unquote failure?
Well, I would say that there's really, like, it doesn't matter the size of it, you know, like especially the size of it, that it, the way that it looks on the outside, because really what's going on inside is the most impactful, or I don't know another word to say for it, but then it's like pungent, right? It's impactful and it's the thing that really holds us back. Like, you know, I say this to people, like when I met you, right? I told you this story and you're like, oh, wow, that's actually really, that's amazing. Like, you've done all this amazing stuff as a result of this happening for you. But for me over here, it felt so bad, you know, and I went out and I was hiding this from people for so long, which makes me show up inauthentic. And, you know, I'm just coming from fear instead of coming from what's possible for me. So I would say that, you know, it doesn't matter what the size of the obstacle is or the size of the failure. It matters how much a person is actually holding on themselves over here. Right. So I would say that people really need to just open up and start sharing about that stuff. And you know, by sharing, we get the outside perspective reflected back to us. And that's how we learn. Otherwise, we're just, you know, we're in that comfort zone, right, of the familiar thoughts and feelings and interpretations that we have over here. And that just really gets in the way. So I would just challenge people to skip over all of that crap that I went through and just, you know, let it out.
And that's one thing that the reason why I have this show too is because of Unapologetically Bold, because we're human at home, work, and play, but sometimes it feels like a versus against each other, that that you can't be yourself and you have to hide this, especially in the hiring process. Pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
To feel like, oh, I can't. And I had somebody talk to me that she was fired, and she's like, I can't tell anybody I was fired. I'm like, there's so much shame with that. I'm like, well, you didn't do anything wrong, you know. But even if you had something that did, you learn from it. So talk more about the importance and how it has helped you in your work life, being what we say is a hot human, humble, open, and transparent, and talking about ourselves.
Wow. Well, my job is really to support people through whatever challenges are getting in their way to creating what they want in their businesses. So we do business coaching, leadership development, and culture development with blue collar businesses. So your construction companies, automotive companies, manufacturing, logistics, things like that, right? And the thing about it is like people come to me with their fears and their concerns and all of these things that they're, you know, that are blocking them from being successful. So the challenge for me is like my own personal challenge. Nobody can tell me anything. Like nobody can come to me and say, hey, Mick, like this thing is in my way and it means that I can't be successful, because I've worked through some of the most difficult things that there are to work through, you know, the interpersonal, mm-hmm. You know, like self-loathing and stuff like that. And the, like, literally, you know, not being able to go and do my business because of this thing, like it's on, nobody has to know sometimes if somebody got fired, right? But this is on my record, you know, like look me up, like they're going to find out about this, right? So, you know, so that's what it is for me. It's like I get to really stand for people to own their worth and like work through their own challenges, because I've had to do my own work and I've had to work through my own challenges. So if it's possible for me, it's possible for anybody.
Mm-hmm. And I think the big part is you're not your mistakes. You are valuable. You do have worth.
That's right.
And how many times that what's in our head can really control us more than what even our environment. Because I will say for me, on my situation, most of the times it was me telling myself I wasn't worthy enough. And everybody's like, it's fine. Like you've overcome this. But sometimes those ghosts from the past can kick back up. So what would you tell somebody that like they've been doing great and then all of a sudden something like this happens, like COVID happens right now, and another failure, it feels like. What would you say to them on reviewing their past and using it as a kind of like a measuring point, but not to hold on to it? If that makes sense.
Well, the thing that I would help a person with around that is like, is really finding out who they are, like taking a look at who they inherently are as a human being, because that doesn't have anything to do with the past and it doesn't have anything to do with the future. Right. Because like somebody like you or I, who our work is to really make a difference for people and to help other people. If we like reflect that person's greatness back to them, if we tell them how great they are, how awesome they are, if we acknowledge them, well, as long as they believe that they're a loser or a failure or whatever the negative comment that they have on themselves, it's like throwing all of that recognition and love into a black hole, right? Mm-hmm. So a person really needs to get clear on what is the story that they're really holding on themselves. Like, what are they making that mistake mean, is what I'm keep hearing you say. Mm-hmm. And they've got to really shift that story. And that's what I would help them with. It's not about me telling them how awesome they are, because that's just not going to work. You know, it might help. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't do that. I certainly would. But I would work with that person to help them learn how to actually get clear on who they really are and acknowledge themselves for it.
Yeah. And what I hear from that, it's not about the why, it's more about the what, and that what is you, and mm-hmm. focusing on you and who you are and who you identify yourself with and your goals and your aspirations. But it always goes back for me to love others. You have to love yourself first.
100%. And we can only love others as much as we love ourselves, right?
Yes. And if you're self-loathing and if you do not like yourself, it may not show up, but it will, if that makes sense. You're stopping your progression in life that you can have. So I do have a comment from the audience, and I love this sweet lady, Miss Vaughn. She said, "You are a huge inspiration. Do you share your stories with others in prison?" She is with Chattanooga CPD, so she's with the police department as well in our local area. So amazing, amazing woman. But I could see where your story could help felons. So do you?
Not yet, but I am working with a guy who has a huge commitment to making a difference for current convicts and also, ex-cons, like people who are currently in prison and people who used to be in prison. Mm-hmm. He's actually a client of mine right now, and we're working together on something that we can work on together as a project in that arena. So not yet is the short answer, and it's to come. Additionally, I think I mentioned this to you, Emily, when we first met a couple of months ago, that I'm also launching a podcast. Mm-hmm. And the podcast is called Tragedy to Triumph. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, one of the things that I think is one of the biggest problems for people in prisons and also for people in, like, even in the construction industry, right? Like, not everybody knows this, but there's the highest rate of suicide in construction than any other industry. Mm-hmm. It's why my soul is on fire to do the work that I do with those people. And so the idea for this podcast is to share stories of vulnerability like this, right? To really, and this might sound weird, but to really make vulnerability cool for the blue collar worker and for people who are locked up in prison, right? There's, a lot of people that certainly there's white collar crime, right? But a lot of blue collar type folks, they might wind up in prison, right? And I think that the reason why some of the people aren't getting the help that they need is because of an unwillingness to be vulnerable. So I think sharing stories like this about what our issues are, what our inner demons are, and the process of what it took to really work through that, and the willingness to share it and get support is going to really help a whole lot of people.
I agree. And I think the one thing I hear too, which I love your vulnerability, is getting past that this is a soft thing, that this is like it puts an ego on you, or it puts some stigma, like the scarlet letter, if you talk about it.
Yeah.
But in actuality, it helps others. It's so amazing that you are coming up and being authentic and vulnerable about something that a lot of people would be like, I can't talk about, because you're the first person I've had that has been open about it. But okay. I know we know a lot of people that have been through it and have overcame it, but they still don't tell their story. Why do you think that is? I know that you talked about how wanting it to be cool, but
it's a huge risk. Mm-hmm. I'll be straight up. Like I've lost business because of this. Mm-hmm. I was joining a networking group one time, and I was like, look, I'm going to start telling my story out loud in the world, like in on stages and on social media, and I want you all to know. And it's interesting because I didn't get business there, right? I shared this story on my website publicly for a few years, and I had a potential client call me up, and he was like, hey, why should I hire you if you had this happen in your life? I don't know if I want to be associated with somebody like that. And I tell you, I told him why I share my story out loud like that, and made a good case for him to still work with me, and he turned me down. Like mm-hmm. he came to me, and then he ended up not going with my service because of it. So it's a risk. That's mm-hmm. why people don't share. Like, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good for me right now. I'm like, what if, so we got some positive comments here, which is great. And I'm sure that there are some people out there that aren't thinking so positively about this. And what I have learned is that that's okay. Like, everybody's going to have their opinion about it. And I'm okay with that, because I'm okay with me. And I know that, like, I know deep in my heart that by me sharing this story, it's going to change lives, So I'm willing to have the naysayers say whatever they want to say and feel whatever they want to feel, because my soul is on fire and I'm on a mission.
Oh, I love this. You are such an amazing person. To end this, as I end all of these, one question and a follow-up question is, one, what would you tell anybody that keeps apologizing for being a convicted felon?
Well, the first thing that came up to me is stop it. But that's a little simple. So I would say actually find the gold in it, right? Like, I've always wanted to share this story, but then there was a time when I just couldn't clearly see why I would. So I had to find that, right? And to me, I found a way that I could really make a difference by sharing this story with the work that I do, right? So that takes a little bit of, getting clear and maybe getting a little support, but, find why share the message and then share it, because it's really can make a difference.
I love it. And then if anybody wants to reach out to you, please let us know how they can contact you.
Yeah, thank you. So my website is carbocoaching.com. So carbo, like carbohydrate without the hydrate, and the word coaching.com. And I'm on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my favorite platform to use for connecting with people on social media. You can also find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Instagram, although I kind of don't know how to use Instagram. So you, Emily, you might have to teach me that. But yeah, reach out. I'd love to talk to anybody about, you know, how I might be able to help them, or how I can help them, you know, get really clear on why they would share their story too.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. If this touched you in any way, please like and subscribe and share with your friends as we continue the message of being unapologetically bold by being hot humans who are humble, open, and transparent. See you next time.